In case you can't tell, sometimes it's a little bit difficult to understand or guess the theme that we're going to have for a certain passage. I think today the reading and the worship songs can kind of give you a glimpse of that theme today, which is it's Easter Sunday, and we're looking at the message of the cross. You know, these readings, as they kind of start with John the Baptist and the Lord opening the heavens and sending his spirit and saying, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased." And then Nicodemus coming to Jesus, you know, one of the teachers of the old covenant, and asking, "What does this mean?" And Jesus giving him the answer. And then, of course, the tragedy of the cross, the injustice of these wicked men slaying the Son of God. And then, of course, the morning that he arose, this beautiful message of hope and the angel telling the women and the disciples eagerly anticipating. It fills my heart with joy. I hope you feel the same way. You know, we say at Christmas, every Christmas, Christmas and Easter, right? They're the big holidays in the Christian world. And we say every Christmas that Christmas is just part one. We love Christmas. We love the Christmas morning season. We love everything about it. We say Jesus is the reason for the season, but it's just part one, right? It's just part one. Easter is the conclusion. So before we get into this passage today, let's pray. Father God, we come before you with hearts filled with joy and gratitude for the literally the one thing that matters most in this world, truly the only thing that has any eternal merit, which is that your son died on the cross to pay for the sins for all who would believe in him. May our hearts focus on that message today. In your name we pray, amen. So when we talk about part one of the season, we talk about the Christmas season. It's kind of like you watch the Lord of the Rings trilogy. I've never read the books. I know many have, and that's probably weird. I think you're probably weird if we're going to be honest there. But Lord of the Rings, the first movie, right? How does that end? If you've seen it, spoiler alert, it's been out for 20 years. That's on you now. But these guys get together, and they make this pact, and we're going to go out, and we're going to do some great stuff. If you watched just the first movie, and you walked away saying, "What a great movie. What a fantastic story. I hope those guys go out and do some good stuff." Right? It doesn't really end until you get to the third one. And I'm going to butcher it because I've only seen them all once. But you get to the final one and then, oh, we're actually defeating Sauron. We're defeating the enemy. The king is crowned. Righteousness reigns. Right? So Christmas is the opening act that brings Jesus into this world. You know, his plan for salvation for humanity since the beginning of time was for this, and it begins at Christmas, but Easter is when his plan is made complete. So we're absolutely in celebration mode. We are celebrating the right things. Make sure that we're clear on this, right? Easter, if you watch the commercials, it's Easter Bunny, right? It's the Easter Bunny, and it's collecting eggs. If your HOA does anything to celebrate Easter, it's an Easter egg hunt, right? And I saw even the paper had a list of churches, I don't know, organizations that their Easter celebration, it was just a listing of Easter egg hunts, right? And so that's what maybe the world would have us celebrate. Maybe if you're truly disgusting like I am, you'll eat those Peeps, right? And you'll have those sugar-coated diabetes nuggets, and they're delicious. I don't even mind the red dye number 40 in them or the yellow dye. But that's not what we're here to celebrate. We're here to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please give me an amen. I'm going to say that again. We, together, corporately, we, you and I, are here to celebrate, to rejoice in, to remember fondly, with great joy in our hearts, the fact that Jesus died and rose from the dead to pay for our sins. I want to say that with all the proper emphasis, because we looked at this on Good Friday. We talked on Good Friday. We had our short service, and on Good Friday, we remember the death and the tragedy of the cross. Right? And even some of our reading today talk about how Jesus died on the cross and bore the weight of our sins. But Sunday morning, he is risen. He is risen indeed. On Sunday morning, on that glorious day, he defeated sin finally, once and for all, having completed God's plan for righteousness, for the redemption of mankind from the beginning of the earth. That's no small deal. That's what we remember on this glorious Sunday. That's what we're celebrating, right? And of course, that's what we celebrate every week, right? If you're a golfer like me, Sunday morning is golf day. We come every single week, every single day, a Christian celebrates this fact. Without that fact, there is no Christianity and there's no reason to sacrifice anything. But this is what we celebrate, right? It's not the Easter Bunny. It is not... When I talk about the world and how they celebrate, have you ever once seen your company's HR department, maybe a couple of you have, send out on Good Friday, hey, you know, have a great weekend. Remember, this is the day we celebrate Christ is dead, and on Sunday, have a great Easter. Have you ever seen that at your work? I mean, do LinkedIn, do companies all change their logo to a cross and celebrate the resurrected Lord? Of course not. Of course not. And the reason for that, the reason we don't see that is what we're going to look at in our passage today. So if you want to turn 1 Corinthians 1:18, it's just one verse. Our text today is this one verse. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who have found salvation in Jesus Christ, it is everything. Right? And so the word of the cross is divisive. You see this dichotomy right here in this verse. It is divisive. Make no mistake, Jesus says, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hates you. The word of the cross, the actual true Easter message, is divisive, is hated. And so what is that message? If you're a note taker, the bulletin, it gives you the 3 points of our sermon today. I don't normally do 3-point sermons. I didn't go to seminary. But the word of the cross is the first point. What is the word of the cross? What is the word of the cross that is divisive? That is foolishness, but is also exceedingly beloved. A short thesis statement on the word of the cross is this. You are a sinner, you are deserving of hell, and you are more wicked than you realize. Right? And that's a fun message. I can see why that's divisive. And the reality is, it's not just you. I'm not pointing a finger at any one of you, although I could and be accurate. It's the entirety of the human race. The entirety of the human race, since the fall, God created the heavens and the earth, shortly after created Adam and Eve, and really quickly Adam and Eve fell into sin. The first two humans, the only ones on the planet, born without sinful nature, born without parents, not even born if we're going to be technical, walked with God, talked with God, knew God. And God said, hey, for your own good, here's one sin you cannot do, one thing you cannot do. And of course, being tempted by Satan, they fall into this sin. They commit this sin. Evil comes into this world. Satan tempts them to question, did God really say you can't do this thing? Like literally, it's not a long list of rules. There's one. And Satan questions God. Satan gets humans to question God. Satan gets them to doubt God's goodness to them, God's righteousness, God's care and love for them. Satan gets them to be jealous of God, to start doubting God. Hey, God's trying to hold you down. You want to be, God doesn't want you to be like him. Yeah, of course, he just created you. Yeah, he walks you every day. Yeah, he spoke everything into existence. Yeah, he literally formed you from dirt and breathe life into you, but now he's jealous of you and he doesn't want you to be like him. That's Satan's message. Satan's message is essentially, no. What I've got for you is better than what God has for you. You are better off if you pursue self. You do you. That's Satan's message to the world. You do you. That's the same lie the world has for us today, by the way. You are good enough without God. You are smart enough. These are a bunch of rules that are arbitrary, that don't have any merit to your life. You are better off as you are. You do you. You don't need to be judged. And so since that first sin into this world has been stained by the mark of sin, right? And this is the entire point of the law that you read about in Exodus and in the Old Testament, which is to hold up a mirror saying, this is God's standard for righteousness. And even if you try really hard, you can't keep it perfectly. But even if you could pretend you could, you actually exposes your heart and says, well, I don't want to. My heart desires these things that God says you can't do. That is the sin in our hearts. We are all sinners. The law exists to expose to us that we do not even desire to keep the law. This is why Scripture tells us there is none righteous, no, not one. And so the word of the cross that is divisive is that you are a sinner and that there is judgment coming for everyone. The fate of every single person in this world who's ever lived and ever will live will be eternal life in heaven, no more sin, no more suffering, with Christ on his throne, or eternal life in the lake of fire where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth for eternity. That is the fate that is for every single human. And the message of the cross is that you are a sinner and you need a savior to save you from that fate. The message of the cross is that you are weak and frail. You are not good enough. That's not the message you hear on your commercials or walking through Walmart. That's not the message you hear being taught at the HOA Easter egg hunt. But that is the message of the cross. We read in John 3. Right, when the reading, one of those was John 3, we read about this man named Nicodemus. It appears he's a pretty good man. It appears that he was actually a righteous man seeking earnestly to understand what Jesus was teaching, as it was so at odds with his custom and his tradition and the world that he'd lived in. And so as he's discussing with Jesus, as he's trying to make sense of what Jesus is actually all about, Jesus says this to him, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's why Jesus came, right? Amen? That's a beautiful thing. You hear, you see that one on at Super Bowls, right, held up. John 3:16, the guy with the clown hair, right? That's the message the world loves. Can you hear Nicodemus saying amen to this? But he continues on, verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. No. But in order that the world might be saved through him. I like where this is going, the world might say. You and I can say that as well. I like where this is going. Didn't come to condemn, came to save. Let's go. Let's look one more verse, though. Verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. That's the Easter message. That's the message of the cross, right? The word of the cross is not Jesus loves you, although he does. The word of the cross is that we are sinners, and no matter how good we are, no matter how nice we are, no matter how many things we try to do, we're not keeping a ledger of we have more good than bad. In our natural state and in the state of sin that we've already committed in our life, we have already been found guilty and condemned to hell. God sent his son to die on the cross for sinners to pay for the most egregious sins you have ever committed, and that if you believe in him for forgiveness of sins, your slate will be wiped clean and you'll be marked righteous by a just God. That is the word of the cross. That is the word of the cross. And that message is horribly offensive to some. Again, verse 18, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved is the power of God. This message is foolishness to those who are perishing. We sound foolish and ignorant to the, have you ever heard someone make fun of you or say something like, I don't want to believe in your magical sky fairy? They belittle and demean anyone who would believe this word of the cross. To those who are perishing, to those who are dying, to those who are like rats on a sinking ship, to those who are like stage 4 cancer patients with a terminal diagnosis, this message is utter foolishness. It is nonsense. They live for the here and now. They live for whatever gives them pleasure. And when they are told, you need Jesus, they look around and are like, not me. I'm all right. I'm pretty smart. I got a high IQ. I got things pretty figured out. My bank account looks pretty nice. Do you see my Audi that I drive? I don't need anything, buddy. I'm doing all right. And it's not just the rich and successful who have this problem. Go preach this message to Skid Row. Go preach this at an Antifa rally. To those who are marching towards eternal death, the message of salvation through Christ and Christ alone is foolishness. I don't know if you saw the news this week. There was a young man who recently came to faith. This young man is a professional basketball player. His name is Jordan Ivey. Has anyone heard this story this week? Professional basketball player, 24 years old. He's living what his entire life was for. He's a first-round draft pick, playing for the Chicago Bulls, playing professional basketball. By the world standard, he had it all. He had fame. He had fortune. He had kids who wanted his autographs. And yet, recently, some months ago, the message of the gospel penetrated his heart, and he realized that he was a sinner in need of a Savior. And he gave his life to Christ. In fact, there's a quote he had recently. He says, "I'm not the Jaden I used to be. The old Jaden is dead. I belong to Christ. I'm born again, and I've been saved by Jesus Christ." But this young man made a mistake. He noticed that the world lives in sin and celebrates sin. And so very innocuously, very innocently, he took to, TikTok or some Instagram or something like that. And he recorded a video of himself saying, "I don't want to celebrate unrighteousness. Every June, my team in the NBA celebrates pride, the pride of sin. I don't want to do that." Literally, that's all he said. He didn't say much worse than that. That was it. He was immediately let go from his team that day. He was fired, and the reason was given was conduct detrimental to the team. The reporting on that, Chicago Sun-Times said this, right? Here's the scare quotes, right? Here's the hit piece. "In the last few weeks, Ivy started taking his social media account to preach to people about his beliefs and condemn those he thought weren't saved. Monday proved to be the final straw, with the Bulls being of the opinion that Ivy's behavior was spiraling." Do you see how the message of truth is actually evil and hated and foolishness to those who are perishing? He looked foolish to the world. Condemn those? His message was, he took to social media to condemn those who weren't saved. What did we just read? Apart from Christ, you are condemned already. That's the message of the cross. This is the message that is so hated by this world. Christmas is not hated. It doesn't matter your stance on anything. Christmas is loved by everyone. Little 8-pound, 8-ounce baby Jesus lying in a manger. The cattle are lowing, the sheep, the shepherds, the angels. It's a beautiful nativity scene. Everyone can get behind that. There's no direct challenge to them there. That Christmas message is universally beloved or tolerated, because if we left it there, then we'd all be dead in our sin, condemned to hell. But Jesus Christ came to this earth not just to be born of a virgin, but to complete the story. And the story that is made complete on Easter Sunday, the message of the cross, is this: God so loved his world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And for those who do not believe in him, they are condemned already. Do you see why this is an unpopular message? The message that is foolishness to the world is not Jesus loves you. It is you are a sinner and need a Savior. The world will tolerate a sanitized version of Christianity, a generic version of Christianity, as long as you judge not lest you be judged, right? As long as you don't preach your word to anyone else, as long as you leave me alone, you can call yourself a Christian. But if you challenge them with the actual message of the cross, that there is an actual judgment coming, then they will fire you. They will hate you. They will scorn you. They will mock you. They will celebrate your death like we saw with Charlie Kirk. The message of the cross is condemnation to the sinner. It tells the sinner that you are not good enough. It tells the sinner that when God, who created the heavens and the earth, looks down on you, he's not impressed. He doesn't look at you and be like, "You know what? Most people need a Savior. You're doing all right, buddy. You're all right just the way you are. Everyone else, yeah, they're not so good. You try to do pretty good. You're all right." God is not impressed with any good thing you have done. The message of the cross is that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that a perfect and righteous and holy God cannot stand and tolerate even one sin, much less a stained body of sin, every fiber of your being stained by sin. This is what sin does. Sin has created this giant chasm between God and man, this Grand Canyon, and we stand at one side of it and look out and say, "I can't get there on my own." It's impossible for us to make ourselves right. It's impossible for us to reach heaven on our own, which is why God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him God loves sinners like you and me. God loves sinners like Jaden Ivey. And God sent his son to live this perfect, spotless life, to impute his righteousness on us, to teach, to heal, to tell about the truth of God and man and sin and salvation. And that message is hated by many, hated by the world. It was hated by his own people at the time, his very people. It was so hated that they followed Jesus around trying to trip him up, hating him out of jealousy. In fact, you see just weeks before this event on the cross, as he healed Lazarus, and they saw him raise a man from the dead, they went out to conspire how they could destroy him. He was such a threat to their power. Jesus was hated in his own time by his own people. He was so hated that one night, these men got together and they arrested Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they came with pitchforks and torches and they put him on a sham trial we read about this morning in Luke, right? And found him guilty, this mob, crucify him, crucify him. They throw him roughly into the path, they throw a crossbeam on his back and they push him towards the mountain Golgotha, right? And get to the top and they lay him down, and they spread his arms out and they take giant spikes and they pound it through his hands, his wrist, both sides, they stretch him out like that. They put his feet one over the other, they take a giant spike through his shin bones. Can you pound, pound, pound? This is after he's had the crown of thorns crushed into his head, his beard ripped out, punched, spit on, hated, mocked. This is how much the gospel was hated. This is how much the message of the gospel was hated. They couldn't stand it. And so they hoist him up on this cross so that every eye can see, thousands of people can see and cheer the death of the righteous Son of God and spit on him and mock him and hate him. That's how much Jesus was hated by his own people that he came to. And the disconnect is, as he lays there dying, being mocked and hated by these crowds around him, he's actually dying for them. He's dying for the sins of all who would believe. And the moment he dies, the physical moment of his death, he is actually paying for the sins of people who hate him, just like you and I hated him before we came to Christ. He's paying for the sins of his enemies. Do you see that? As he is suffering and dying, he was dying for my sins. He was dying for your sins. This is the message of the cross. This message is foolishness to those who are dying. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. To those who love Christ and have been redeemed by the blood of the cross, this message is our only hope. I promise you, I have no other hope in this world. It's not in health. It's not in my knees. It's not in finances or athletic ability or intellect. There's nothing. It is all for Christ. Jaden Ivey doesn't care how many points he scores in the NBA anymore. Jaden Ivey lost that job. He doesn't care if he ever goes back to the NBA. And by the way, he's got a checkered past. This is a sinner who came to Christ, right? I'm not vouching for everything he's done in his life, right? But this is a man who worked his entire life through high school, through youth basketball, through college, rehabbing from injuries, to come to the faith and say, I don't care about anything anymore. If you search his name, you'll find it riddled. Every single article is someone hating on this man for his bigotry, his intolerance, calling him crazy. We're concerned about his mental health. This man giving up a professional basketball career, this is true foolishness to the world, is it not? He's giving up everything he's ever worked for. The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but it is a breath of air to a drowning victim. The word of the cross is hated by those who hate God and reject his son, but whoever believes in him shall receive eternal life and shall know peace for the first time in their lives and for eternity. This is the encouragement that many in here share. The word of the cross is the greatest encouragement and hope we have in this world. What would make a man rejoice from losing millions of dollars in his professional basketball career? Only the power of God. The power of God is hope and encouragement to those who are saved. An example I've shared before, Jim Elliot was born in 1927 in Portland, Oregon, so not too far. He was born in a good family, the son of a preacher. If you know the name of Jim Elliot, you know where this is going. By all accounts, he was raised really, really great life, good family. He was on the wrestling team. He wrote for the school paper, worked, was in school plays, and he goes off to college. He meets the girl of his dreams. They get married. He's working at a Christian radio broadcast station in Illinois. He's serving the Lord. He's got a good life. He's teaching Sunday school. He's teaching in prison ministries. So not only does he have a good, physical, comfortable life, he's actually doing good with it, right? By all accounts, outwardly, this is just a great guy in a great situation. But he heard about a tribe of savages in Ecuador, a tribe that was completely unreached by the gospel. And it broke his heart that there were people out there who were going to die without ever hearing about Jesus Christ, about the message of the cross. So at the age of 29, he goes to this tribe, and I'll save you some of the details about the inroads he tried to make, but the truth of the matter is, in short order, he lands on the banks of this river, and he's killed. What a tragedy. What a waste of a life, right? Foolishness to the world. Foolishness to the world. To trade this good life that he had, to leave a widow, to trade that for certain death, just to preach the gospel, the message of the cross. Of course, his famous quote is this: "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." The message of the cross is simultaneously foolish and utterly life-changing. For those who have not yet laid down their burdens of the cross, who do not yet see the stain of sin in their lives that separates them from God, who have not yet stood at the side of the Grand Canyon, who have not stared into the abyss of eternity and wondered what their fate is, this could sound like foolishness. But to those who see reality for what it is, that there is a God and there is a Savior and there is a heaven and there is a hell, and that our sins have condemned us to hell already, and outside of Jesus Christ, there is no path to salvation. For those of us who have put our faith and hope and trust in Jesus Christ, this is the most life-giving, encouraging truth there is to us. This is the message of the cross. This is the message of Easter. And it's so important. It's always been important. It's so important now because this world is lost and hopeless. This world is not our home. My favorite phrase is, "I hate this world." I open up the news and I say, "I hate this world." This world, don't get me in trouble. This is probably, we're on YouTube somehow, I think. This world is run by Satan-worshipping pedophile elites. I believe that. And if I'm wrong, okay, well, it sure looks like it. They do a good job of looking like it. At best, the fate of humanity, the best we could do is keep our heads down, work a good job, golf on the weekends, hope to have 401ks doing all right, and hope we have Social Security still around when we retire. That's the best, right? Hope to have a good neighborhood and keep the lawn green, right? That's the best this world has to offer realistically. And more realistically, you're going to have family drama. You're going to have a leaky roof. Heaven forbid there's a recession and you lose your house to foreclosure or a bankruptcy. You lose your job. You have your health fail you. Sickness, disease, heartbreak, financial collapse. You could just lose your job to AI. That's what this world has to offer. Those who put their hope and trust in this world will be disappointed every single time. Those who put their faith in family and friends and coworkers and jobs and HR departments and government and officials will be let down every single time. And those who trust in themselves for their own pride, their own self-righteousness, their own goodness, those who even gain the entire world will lose their soul. But those who trust in the cross for forgiveness of sins, for the promise of eternal life, have nothing to lose. They can lose nothing. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. This is the hope for those who are saved by the blood of the cross. This is the message of the cross. It is foolishness to the unbeliever, but to the believer, Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The message of the cross for the believer is that you have been made at peace with the righteous God through Jesus Christ, through the work on the cross. Your sins are forgiven. And for those who have heard this message maybe for the first time or maybe for the 100th time, who are still undecided, still on the outside looking in, my encouragement is that you would realize that this is truth, that you would repent of your sins and you would give your life of Christ, life to Christ. Sin is not fun and freedom. Sin is bondage. Sin is bondage and makes you a slave to Satan. Come to Christ. Today is the day of salvation. Repent of your sins. Believe in Jesus Christ. This is the power of the cross. This is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is his will for all who would hear and believe. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the work of the cross. We thank you for the conviction that it brings to the sinner. We thank you for the salvation that it brings to those who are not better by any stretch of the imagination, Lord God, but are forgiven. Forgiven by the blood of the cross. In your name we pray. Amen.